This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
This is the time of the program we allow you to determine what we will talk about. And coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk with Brian Geisinger, League Pass Lair, one of our NBA analysts. We have Game 5 tonight. So, the choices for you, very simple. Dennis sends out a poll, a tweet with a poll in it, usually about an hour before showtime. What should we talk about today at 1 o'clock? And we've got almost half of the people have chosen East Carolina UNC baseball. Mm-hmm. Not really sure what there is to say about it other than ouch. We also had Avs Lightning because we have the Stanley Cup Finals that begins on Wednesday, NBA Finals Game 4 tonight, and the U.S. Open. We also invite write-ins, 919-860-5326. And if you would like to suggest something else or talk about one of those things, by all means, now would be the time to do it, 919-860-5326.
A lot of write-in votes for PLL, Premier Lacrosse
No,
League.
Not a lot. One.
There are a couple.
Yeah, just because you did it.
And people liked it.
Right.
And responded to it. That counts as votes.
Go right ahead. Did they put on a good show in Charlotte?
It honestly was a fantastic show. The on-field action is fantastic.
Yeah.
The speed of the game, the size in which these guys are, the physicality of the game is top-notch. And they do a really good job of making sure the fan experience is great. That is something that is very important for the league, is to make sure that they have interaction with fans. There are some meet and greets on the field with players after some games, and players after the games signing autographs, not only on the field, you know, along the stands, but even outside of the venue, which is super cool as well. They had a whole full fan fest going on, where you can actually shoot on goal and track how fast your shot was. And they had just all kinds of other stuff for fans to do and enjoy. And it honestly was a great experience.
Cool.
Yeah, if you have a family or just want to go watch a great sporting event, it was a great time.
You met our friend, Nekhai Montgomery.
I did.
Right?
Chatted with him for about 20 minutes or so.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you apologize for my absolute lack of knowledge on anything that he's ever done?
Oh, no, it's fine.
It's fine?
It's okay.
I mean, we were happy to have him on. Promote the fact that they're going to be in Charlotte. And where are they going now?
Long Island is
next. Oh, that's right, Long Island.
Long Island is next. And I will say it was really
neat. By the way, you just said it correctly.
What, Long Island?
Yeah, because for people who are from Long Island, because, you know, the G is really at the end of the L,
yeah,
at the end of the first word.
Yeah.
Actually, for people who live there, it's not.
Yeah, I know.
It's Long Island.
Yes.
So you did that very well.
My father, first 6 years or so of his life, lived on Long Island.
Yeah, very nice.
Yes. Born in Brooklyn. Yes.
Look at you.
I am.
Where Brooklyn at?
Yeah, exactly.
Where is Brooklyn at?
Yes, there was a... Anyway, it was a great experience. It was nice because there in Charlotte, it was an American Legion Memorial Stadium, which is right next to Uptown.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually could see the Uptown Charlotte skyline, which was really cool right there in the background. It was a beautiful night. Both nights were fantastic.
And I'm glad they put on a good show.
They really do. And if they come back to North Carolina, if you get a chance to go, I highly encourage it, just because it's a fast-paced game. A game's less than 2 hours long, and it's fast-paced, it's physical, and there's a lot of high-end skill, which is what we all want in sporting events. Doesn't take long,
fast,
high skill,
yeah,
fast, physical.
Get me out of there so I can go home and do stuff I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Maybe we want longer games. Never mind.
Well, that's cool. They give you two games on a night.
Very
and
nice.
Four on a weekend.
All good. And you didn't win both your parlays, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. All right. So, all right, let's get to East Carolina and UNC. I'm sort of at a loss for even what to say. First of all, East Carolina was this close to Omaha for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They were seven outs away with nobody on base.
Yep.
They needed to get the last out of the seventh inning. It was 7-2, two-out double, followed by a pop fly home run. And I don't know what hurts more for East Carolina. The fact that the three home runs that Texas hit that ultimately put them ahead 8-7 were the cheapest home runs I have ever seen. I mean, even when you look at the plays slowed down in slow motion off the bat, they look like routine fly balls. And they were all no doubters.
Yeah.
Wind was blowing out to right, but also short porch, small ballpark in right field, and like no chance. So I felt bad for that. You did tie it up in the top of the ninth before Texas won it in the bottom. And then the way that the game was started, it was started late. Then the rains came and it was held for like ever. And really had no chance at that point. They should have never started the game knowing that they were going to have to shut it down. But they did. I don't know. Maybe Texas is the better team. I don't know. I just felt really bad for East Carolina, first time ever having a regional on their field, and they were that close. So it's just incredibly disappointing. As for North Carolina, I mean, about 2 weeks before the ACC tournament, I'm fairly certain that Carolina wasn't sure they'd be in. And then they got hot, and then they won the ACC tournament, and then whoops, we're hosting a regional, and then the higher seed in your corner of the draw gets beat, and now all of a sudden you've got the regional on your field, when frankly there probably wasn't much difference between Carolina and Arkansas.
Probably not.
2 weeks ago, right? 3 weeks ago. Probably no difference, really. And Arkansas came in and shut Carolina's offense down, and that was disappointing. But I think the bottom line is both teams had great years and great finishes, which probably led to getting to where they were. Texas, what did we talk about with Aaron Fitt on Friday? That Texas was most people's preseason number one, maybe finally got back to playing at their level, or at least closer to their level. But with all that said, you can't get closer to Omaha than what East Carolina did and not get there. So I just think it hurts just that much more.
I think also yesterday, the fact that they tried to start that game, waited, played a little bit again, waited even longer. I was like, why don't they just make a call and play it in case today? Like, why are they even trying to start? Like, they never should have tried and started that game yet.
Should have never started the game. Like, I honestly, I don't even remember when they resumed it.
It was 10:15 or like 10 o'clock last night.
So, first pitch was thrown around 4, right?
That was the scheduled first pitch.
Oh, no, it was delayed a little bit.
Yeah.
Then they finally threw first pitch, and then they waited for like 3 more hours before resuming the game. Because I remember going back to check the score, and I'm like, why is it still in the bottom of the first?
And no, it's 4-0. They never even got out of the top of the first.
Oh, so it was still top first, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. They never even got out of the top first. It's just the whole thing was dumb.
Yeah, and then it was
the entire thing was dumb.
10 o'clock last night. They started playing the first inning again. I was like, why?
Yeah,
why are we doing this?
They should have never started the game. They should have had game three of that series today, and it would have been more fair to both sides. Like they have like weather apps on their phones, right?
Yeah, radars and everything.
And radar, and you could tell, you can actually see, like the radar doesn't. The rain doesn't have to pass over where you are for there to be electricity in the storm, which would cause you to stop it anyway, right? Yeah. So you could tell when there are, you know, powerful storm cells nearby. Just dumb that they ever started that. That's the whole thing's unfortunate, but great year. Unfortunate way that it ended.
Maybe they try to beat the heat today.
Oh, my gosh. See what it's going to be tomorrow?
Yeah, stupid.
Tomorrow is amazing. All right. This is, not really a write-in. It's sort of the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. It's golf, anyway. Phil Mickelson's meeting the media today. We will discuss what Phil had to say a little bit later on once we have a chance to digest all of it. Here's my my question. If you are wondering why, and I've tried hard to not make this about the Saudi money investment of LIV. I've really tried to make it about the conflict between LIV and the PGA Tour. In all of my correspondence with people on Twitter, it's really about that. Because, look, there are a lot of questionable alliances for business purposes in this world. But this is what people always come back with. And you can say that it's about a lot of things, but no, this is the response that I would say 95% of the people come back with. How come we always talk about the Saudis, LIV and the Saudis, but nobody ever questions the NBA and China? First of all, no, people did. Mm-hmm. Second, does it have to be the NBA and China when the PGA Tour? Just keep it there. If golf and LIV is okay for you and you want to come back, why not just say, well, the PGA Tour has relationships with China? Why not just stay there? Because I got news for you. You're telling on yourself if you react back with the NBA and China, or what about LeBron and China? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you have told me everything I need to know about you. And I apologize for maybe making an unfair judgment, but I bet I'm more fair than not with the majority of you. There's a difference. I'm not going to get into it because it doesn't matter. But the real conflict here is, and I'll bring this home to anything else, is there another sport, Dennis, can you think of another sport that would allow their athletes to compete in a league that was predominantly based in your backyard? In other words, if a pro football league started in the fall in the United States or in North America, would the NFL be okay with that? Would they allow Derek Carr to play for the Raiders? But you know what? The Manitoba Moose, they play on Wednesdays. Would they allow that?
Probably not.
No, of course not. Of course they wouldn't. So why should the PGA Tour allow their players to A, blatantly defy the rules that they agreed to, which is you can only play competing events, none in our country, but you can only play competing events with our permission. You agreed to that. Why should the PGA Tour suddenly say, yeah, that's all right? They can't compete with Saudi money. No chance. Charles Schwartzel earned roughly $21 million in his PGA Tour career over 11 years. He earned $4.75 Saturday. It's about 23% of his previous total he earned in 54 holes. The PGA Tour can't compete with that money.
No.
And they know that there are enough professional golfers who only care about money, and I'm not even knocking that. Like, there's a lot of people like that, not just golfers. So the tour can't compete with it. So what are they supposed to do? They are going to defend their turf. Whether or not the tour legally can do this will be determined. I actually think they can, because there are rules for engagement on the PGA Tour. And one of the rules is you are entitled to request a waiver 3 times a year to play on a rival, you know, in a competing event overseas. And typically the PGA Tour has allowed it. They did it earlier this year with the Saudi Invitational. That was part of the Asian Tour. It was part of a legitimately recognized tour. This is not. The LIV series is not. It's not affiliated with any tour. It's simply an exhibition. Big money, sort of like the Shark Shootout a bunch of years ago, which actually might still be in effect. So the tour denied it because they know what this, what LIV's mission is, what Greg Norman's mission is. And their mission is to, as best they can, destroy the PGA Tour. If you don't believe so, 8 events this year, 10 events next year, 14 events the next 2 years after that. And about half of them will be in the United States. Mm-hmm. They're not about creating more opportunities. They are about taking the best players away from the PGA Tour, which will damage the PGA Tour. This ain't hard. This is not hard. And if you're okay with where the money's coming from, then that's fine. That's fine. That's your choice. I'm more interested in watching the PGA Tour, especially as long as the best players are there. And the best players are. I mean, yes, DJ is playing the LIV series, and he's still one of the best players in the world. I'm not knocking that. Bryson DeChambeau also. But the best players, at least for now, still on the PGA Tour. All right, when we come back, Game 5 tonight, Brian Geisinger weighs in on how the Celtics react, or do they even have to? Next.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely. Good.
So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Game 5 tonight in San Francisco, Warriors. I heard somebody else say this, and I'll just use it, with a 2-2 series lead over Boston. Obviously, it is tied 2-2. Brian Geisinger, League Pass Lair, accsports.com, joining us on the Adam Gold Show. All right, sir. It feels to me like the Celtics, even though it's 2-2, have simply been the better team. They got curried to an extent in Game 4, but also Klay showed up in a big spot really for the first time in this series. He hit the shot, I believe, that put Golden State up to stay. But that really was just a Steph Curry out-of-body experience as much as anything else.
Yeah, I actually agree with that pretty fully. Like, I think Golden State's having to work really, really hard to get clean looks, or they're just having to ride Steph like they did in Game 4. And that was, I think Steph ran, I think, was the ball handler in 48 pick and rolls in that game, yeah, which is the most he's had, I think, since the 2017 finals. So it's been 5 years. So, like, that wasn't, like, Warriors vintage, you know, motion offense basketball. It was, you know, looked more almost sort of like more, you know, standardized NBA spread pick and roll. And Steph, I mean, like, what are you going to do? Like, sometimes it's really hard to guard him. He's going to score 43 points on 26 shots. He's going to get the drives. He's going to get to the line, the pull up, relocate three. Like, he's really tough to defend. I think everything else Boston's doing defensively is pretty good. And they're just going to have to ride with, hey, look, if Curry's going to go nuts, you know, there's only so much you can do. And you saw them mix in some of the traps late in the game too. Maybe they need a little bit more of that. But yeah, for the most part, I think Boston's the length, their size, they've bothered Golden State. They just kind of like lost their way offensively at times in Game 4. And I think ultimately that's what cost them. almost as much as Curry just going, you know, bonkers like he did.
Yeah, look, Boston's turnovers have hurt them throughout this series. I don't know if turnovers was the issue. I do know we get to the midpoint of the fourth quarter, and Boston looks like, you know, even though Golden State's kind of hanging in, it looks like Boston's going to get it to the finish line, and then they stopped scoring, and that was pretty much it. I don't know. I don't have, you know, I should have gone back and looked at the play-by-play, but it was like a 15-something run to close the game out.
Yeah, I mean, the fourth quarter offense kind of went down the tube there. And look, I think Tatum has had a tough series shooting the basketball. I think for the most part, he's hit the pressure points and, like, been a decent playmaker. He did have, what, 5 or 6 turnovers in game 4. That's tough. But look, Golden State's a really, really good defensive team. I know a lot was made of you know, Draymond Green being on the bench for some of the fourth quarter, a big chunk of the fourth quarter. But when he came back in, he made some plays defensively. And you brought up Klay Thompson hitting a big shot. He was also really solid for them defensively against Jaylen Brown in that game when they absolutely needed it. And, like, Klay showed up. Like, it looked like old Klay Thompson, you know, wing stopper out there. And they need more of that going forward. But, yeah, like, I just think ultimately Golden State got some big defensive performances from some key guys. I think Boston kind of, like, I don't know, they went after Bielitsa, I think, a little too hard at stretches of the game and kind of got away from their offensive flow. And yeah, like, I just think Golden State's help has been sensational in this series, but Boston can certainly, like, I don't know, they've got to find their flow. And if you take some of that stuff off the table, well, then all of a sudden that offense can go from being pretty dynamic to, you know, average, especially if Tatum's, you know, not at his sort of, like, apex creator in scoring potential.
I thought game 3, and we were starting to talk about this on Friday, I thought game 3 was way more about Boston at the rim on both ends. Robert Williams blocking shots and then offensive rebounds galore on the other end of the court. There wasn't nearly as much of that, and Williams did look like he got a little bit hobbled in the second half of game 4, which is a complete game changer for Boston's defense, because if Golden State can't get to the rim and if Boston is getting second chance opportunities all day long, then that really spells doom for the Warriors. So we'll have to see how it plays. I thought Klay basically just kind of kept Brown in front of him in the second half, or in the fourth quarter. And, you know, they basically dared Boston to beat them from 3, which maybe isn't the smartest thing in the world to do, but it worked.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think Klay's defense, they needed that from him badly. And again, once upon a time, we were accustomed to Klay doing that.
Yeah.
He in so many ways is still like the classic, like, Tony Bennett defender. Like, he's not a big, he doesn't get a ton of steals, right? He's not like a huge blocks and steals guy, but it's just like a classic do your job, stay in front of the basketball, and keep guys out of the paint. And yeah, that was huge. Boston very rarely got to the rim. Only 10 shots at the rim in game 4 compared to 17 for Golden State. And part of that too was, like, Golden State did a great job on the offensive glass, right? Like, that's how they got some, like, Draymond had a big offensive rebound in the fourth quarter when he came back in that led to a swing and a score. But yeah, Golden State rebounded 37% of their misses in that game too. And again, like, you can push Boston in some of those tough spots if you make them think about, you know, the double big guy lineup with Williams, who again is battling a knee injury, unfortunately, and Horford in there at the same time.
Are you a listener of the Draymond Green podcast?
On and off. Like, I'll be honest with you, I'm, like, kind of at, like, peak bandwidth for, like, podcasts. You know what I mean? Like right. one more right. podcast of the rotation may be the thing that, like, breaks me. You know what I mean? Like, I drive
way too much. I'm in my car way too much. And, you know, right now, NHL radio is not enough for me. Anyway, okay. So I thought, and Green's post game was, I was interested to hear his take on his own performance. But he said something, and I talked about this, or at least I tweeted about it on Friday, because I didn't talk about it after game 4, because, you know, I'd just be talking to the wall. but on the low, Andrew Wiggins was maybe the second most important player for Golden State. I mean, he was really good defensively. He had, and they gave him a hard time in the locker room about it, because what, 16 rebounds or whatever it was, 16 rebounds was way more than his career high. His career high was 11. How is it? And they said, how is it possible that your career high is only 11? But Wiggins has been great for them in this series.
Yeah, he's been terrific. I mean, you mentioned 16 rebounds. That is a ton. And 17 points, hit a couple threes. And yeah, plus 20 with Wiggins on the court in that game in almost 44 minutes of action. So just like think about that. Wiggins is just like in general this season. I mean, laugh. Like, you can laugh if you want about the All-Star game inclusion. That was probably like a little too much. But like, he has become just a really solid, two-way NBA wing. You can't, and the kind of guy you can't have enough of. Guys that are that size, that athletic, that can shoot pretty well, that can create a little bit too, but that can also guard a ton of positions. And just like, depending on what the matchup is asking for that night, can go check a different box for you. And Wiggins he has incredible tools to his game. And yes, like at this point, we've probably given up on him being like the alpha wing creator that maybe some thought he was going to be coming into the league out of Kansas, but he's settled into a great role, one that where he can make a ton of cash and also be on the floor during leverage minutes in the playoffs, in the finals for a team that has title aspirations. Like, he's there. And it's a really important piece for Golden State. He's been terrific.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. Look, he was the first pick overall. So you expect more out of the first pick in a draft. Mm-hmm. But regardless of where you get picked, sometimes this is who you are. And the best version of Andrew Wiggins is probably the third option on a championship caliber team. And there is nothing wrong with being the third option. If they ever get fully operational Klay Thompson back, and they may never, maybe this is what we have for the rest of Klay Thompson's career. And I had forgotten that he had played for Tony Bennett. I watched Klay Thompson play for Tony Bennett. I believe it was in Memphis during the Sweet 16, the regional, when the Tar Heels were out there in either, I think it was 08, before they went to the... Yeah. Before they lost to Kansas. And I guess Andrew Wiggins wasn't there in 08, but before they lost to Kansas in that game. Brian Geisinger is here. All right, so as we go to tonight, knowing that Boston has not yet lost twice in a row in the playoffs, what are we expecting?
I kind of think for them, like, more of the same, honestly. Like, I really don't think they have to, like, I don't think they have to blink. Based off of, well, at least speaking of their defense specifically, I don't think they have to blink. I know Steph went crazy, but we kind of talked about this at the start. Like, he's going to do that. And everything else they're doing defensively is, like, pretty good, right? Like, they have Draymond Green has not gotten going as, like, a screen and roll guy, right? Like, they've just taken that. That's, like, the most unstoppable part of Golden State's playbook, right? Steph and Trey pick and roll.
Right.
And they flow from there. And, like, they've kind of taken that off the table. Offensively, like, can you find some ways to get Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum downhill? So the Marcus Smart kickouts to those two guys, where are those? Can you get those back on the table? And I'll be also curious to see just like, are there any other sort of like lineup shuffles, right? We saw Otto Porter get thrown into the starting lineup in game 4 for Golden State. We saw Bielitsa start to play, you know, a little bit, you know, only played 9 or 10 minutes, but him getting a little bit of a role. So my guess is that you see Boston doesn't blink. We see the same stuff from them defensively, but maybe they try to like be a little bit more, I don't know, like, cause they want to play random and have flow on offense, but just finding a way to be a little bit more, I don't know, like focused on their scheme in this game. And not getting into so much of like the individual isolation or attack a certain matchup, like that kind of basketball. So honestly, the way this series has been going, like I guess it would seem likely that or seem expected for Boston to produce the upset, but or you know, get the win on the road or whatever. But I gotta think Golden State's feeling pretty good about where they are. Like, they did the job. They got the win in Boston. And yeah, now it's, you know, best of three, and they've got two games at home. So I don't know. I kind of just think more of the same. I don't think either of these teams have to blink. I think they just need to sort of like refine and tighten, pull on the margins a little bit more than anything.
I think Golden State better win tonight. If they don't win tonight, I think it's over in game six. I think Boston can maybe let it hang out there a little bit. They can play a little freer, because I think Boston's going to win game six at the Garden either way. But obviously, I mean, I think Boston is going to go out and try to get this one tonight. I just think, as you said what I had said earlier, that it just looks like it has come easier for Boston, and I'm having a hard time why this series is 2-2, other than Steph. Final thing, are you annoyed by the should Steph Curry be MVP even if they lose the series talk?
Hey, yeah, I don't like all, like so many of these things, the narrative type stuff, I'm just like not paying attention to.
Good,
I'm
good for you.
Like, it just, I'm like, luckily the draft is, you know, coming up, so there's just plenty of, and the transfer portal's been busy, so there's like plenty of other basketball stuff to keep up with. Like, I'm kind of tuning out a lot of this other stuff. Steph's been incredible. But yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've tuned a lot of that stuff out in the BG bubble here.
Good. It's the dumbest conversation maybe in the history of anything, since Boston's got great players too. And if Boston wins the series, one of them is going to be the finals MVP, and should be. Brian Geisinger, we'll talk to you later. I appreciate your time, my friend.
Yeah, you guys be good.
At bgeis_bird, accsports.com, we have the draft coming up. We will obviously tap into Brian's knowledge then. We have reached the half. It's very exciting.
And now your halftime entertainment.
Six on the board today.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
All right,
by the way, have you seen Charlotte FC has 6 home wins in 8 home matches?
Do they?
Yeah, very very good start. Very
Carolina
good start.
Hurricanes of MLS.
Yes.
Which is interesting, because they fired their coach.
Yeah, I've read a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Like, the coach doesn't sound like he really cared.
Oh.
Like he didn't really want to be there.
Wait, when did Matt Rhule start coaching Charlotte FC?
Like, he took the job, and then just didn't talk to players. And immediately criticized the roster. I'm like, why did you take the job? I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting.
Whatever.
All right, so we talked last week about Jurassic Park, Jurassic World. Well, Jurassic World Dominion debuted this weekend.
Yes.
$389 million globally.
Really? That seems like a lot.
It's a lot of money. $143 million roughly here in the States. And the rest coming internationally. So
still good.
Still a good weekend. It's interesting. The fan score is roughly around 80% in terms of likability, I guess you could say.
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes? Is that what you're talking
about? Sure. I think the fan rating on it's about 80%, though critical rating is only about 31%. I don't know.
I don't know. Who cares?
So
if you like it, you'll go watch it.
I'll probably go watch it.
I can't wait to see it.
You got a lot of catching up to do, sir.
Can't wait to see it.
I'm sure you can't. Also, Top Gun Maverick passed $700 million globally so far since its release.
That one I want to see.
I might actually see that tonight.
I definitely want to see it.
Either tonight or Wednesday. One of the two.
When can I get it, like, on Amazon Prime?
I don't know.
Soon, I think, right?
I think the original Top Gun's on Netflix. I don't know who's going to get the rights to it.
I've seen that. I mean, it's
but yeah, I that's one where it might be on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't care. Okay, I see.
Yeah,
maybe. We have Netflix, so check it out.
All right, HBO, another streaming service out there. HBO's series adaptation of The Last of Us has wrapped up, according to executive producer Craig Mazin. He confirmed it on Twitter, actually, I think late last night. The Last of Us is actually a popular video game on PlayStation. And the game actually debuted 2013-2014.
Okay.
And the game sees a lead character, whose name is Joel, escort a teenage girl named Ellie across a post-apocalyptic U.S. is the premise of the game, and that's the series is being adapted to that.
Okay.
And the lead, who plays Joel, is actually going to be Pedro Pascal. And Bella Ramsey is also going to play Ellie. Bella Ramsey is also Lyanna Mormont from Game of Thrones.
Okay, I don't know any of those people, but that's fine.
Well, that's there's that. So The Last of Us did have a second adaptation of The Last of Us 2 was released.
Uh-huh.
Though they are re-releasing the game, The Last of Us, for PlayStation 5. I think actually possibly as well for Microsoft, which lends me to believe that it might be coming to Xbox, since Xbox and Microsoft are the same.
Right.
Or at least they'll make it adaptable for PC. But it's a game, unfortunately, I haven't played, because so many of these games are exclusive to one console, Adam. I've stated this before.
It bothers me all the time.
I hate it.
It bothers me to no end.
I don't want to buy a PlayStation just so I can play. I really want to play these games.
What if you bought a PlayStation?
Yeah.
PlayStation
5?
What? I would assume.
Yeah.
What, unless there's a, is there a 6 available?
They're working on it.
Okay. But if you bought a PS5, what games could you not play because you have, I'm guessing you have an Xbox?
I have an Xbox. There are some things exclusive on Game Pass. I know, like, for example, Halo is probably the biggest one.
Okay.
Halo's would be the biggest.
Right.
But yeah, that's really...
That's it?
That I can think of off the top of my head. I can't remember what else is exclusive.
Then you just have to make a decision as to which game you want to play the most. Like, which game would bother you to not have access to?
I don't know.
Then you have to... That's your
decision.
Well,
here's also the thing as well, is that if I have
a lot
of...
easy for you.
If I have a lot of friends who also play games via their Xbox, that's how we are able to chat and communicate with each other live.
That's how Jack talks to his friends.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
shouts at his friends or whatever they do.
There's that, too.
Right.
We shout at other people.
Yeah, it's what Jack does.
I've probably shouted at Jack one time.
Have you?
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, he's a jerk online.
Is he?
Oh, complete. He's a complete.
Good for him.
Yeah.
It's a place where you can hide behind.
It's a complete dope.
Keyboard.
Yeah.
All right. How about LeBron James, the TV analyst?
Really? For basketball or
yes,
other sports? I'd like
basketball.
To hear LeBron for other sports.
So LeBron on his show, The Shop, his YouTube show, was asked by his good friend
Maverick
Carter.
That's not on HBO anymore?
I don't know, as I know, it's still on YouTube.
Okay.
But on The Shop, talked with Maverick Carter, asked him about it. Hey, would you go seeing, you know, what Tom Brady signed for? And LeBron responded, you darn right. One, my knowledge of the sport and being able to have my insight on the sport and still be around the game. I want to stay around the game for sure forever. So LeBron has expressed interest, obviously, in owning a team. He wants to own a team in Vegas, of all places. And, I mean, he certainly has the big-name cachet that will bring in eyeballs, I would think, for sure.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. People would want to hear what LeBron had to say about, you know, during games. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that might be a thing. And, again, after seeing Tom Brady sign a 10-year, $375 million deal with Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that would definitely entice somebody. LeBron has actually teased recently that he might actually launch a podcast himself.
Sure.
Or maybe a podcast network. And, of course, if he were to have his own podcast, too, it's going to do big numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I'm interested in hearing LeBron as an analyst. I really don't tune in for analysts. Unless, actually, I take that back. The TNT coverage is just hilarious.
But I never tune
in. That's entertaining.
Well, okay, you're talking about the pregame and postgame.
Yes, like Kenny, Shaq.
Yeah, Inside the NBA is a next-level show,
great.
Right? And that's where you need the star power to bring you in.
Exactly.
I'm going to watch the game regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, if you believe that the analyst doesn't matter, you're lying. Because the analyst does matter. It matters, it increases your enjoyment of it. And if you don't like the analyst, I'm not saying you're going to turn it off, but you might turn the sound off.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that before.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just put the game on. I don't need somebody to tell me what's going on while I'm watching it. I can see what's going on. And if there's something that I need to have audio, you know, I always can unmute the television. But I think the right analyst does matter. I don't think Tom Brady's the right analyst.
Yeah, well.
But that's fine. Doesn't matter.
To be determined on that. All right, that's all I have.
All right, good. When we come back, we'll tell you about our big positive in the Black Weekends. And we'll place bets next.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a very successful weekend. You were up this weekend, weren't you?
I was.
How'd you do? How'd you do on your many lacrosse bets that none of us paid attention to?
For example, shame on you for not paying attention.
Sure.
I actually got my first parlay, Chrome over the Redwoods and Archers over Chaos. That was a plus 265.
Very nice.
Nailed that on Friday. But I had Atlas and Cannons over 24.5 and the Whipsnakes minus 1.5 goals over the Water Dogs. Whipsnakes only won by one, and Atlas and Cannons 24. So I missed it by a half and missed it by, anyway.
I had Steph Curry going for a double-double at plus 800.
Pulled that one out.
And I had the Lightning at plus money after the Rangers won the first two games of that series.
I also missed my UFC fight. I thought that Valentina Shevchenko would win by either knockout or TKO or DQ. At plus 180, she only won by decision.
Oh, man. All right, let's get some money on the table.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
All right, sir. Give us a ride.
All right, my first bet, I'm actually going to go NBA tonight.
All right.
Give me Jaylen Brown with 2+ three-pointers made in the first half.
Nice.
So two or more three-pointers in the first half, plus 190.
Plus what? That seems like stealing money
to
me. That really does. It seems like stealing money. All right, can I just flat out start with the Celtics at plus 145?
Yeah.
Like, I think they're the better team. So I'll take the Celtics at plus money to win tonight's game. Just that simple.
I was highly considering that.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I was
just that simple.
That.
I'm going to have a second wager on the game tonight.
Oh, very nice. UEFA Nations League, because we have to, right?
Right.
Iceland-Israel draw plus 225 today.
See, I'm also on Iceland-Israel.
Okay.
You've got it as a draw.
I have it as a draw.
Iceland was in what was it? The semifinals? Was it the World Cup a few years ago, or was it a European Championship?
I think it was a Euro Championship.
How are they underdogs at home to Israel?
I don't know.
Give me the ice cubes. Give me the ice cubes at plus 190 to win it outright.
There you go. I mean, Israel's a plus 155 to win.
I know. Well, they're both plus money, which means it's a pretty competitive match, but Israel's the favorite there. I don't get it.
Give me
Iceland at plus 190. You know what I found out?
What's that?
Iceland, one of the seven happiest places to live.
I can believe it.
Iceland. They're all Scandinavian countries, by the way.
Yeah, I found our
pretty much.
Our friend Brian,
Iceland's not Scandinavian.
Our friend Brian Lord recently went to Iceland.
Did he really?
Yes.
There seems like very
something
happy people.
Work related.
Okay. Well, either way, I would go there on a pleasure trip. Looks very nice.
Sure
they're very
would.
Happy there. Finland, Norway, Sweden, Iceland, Denmark. It basically Netherlands. We understand why.
Of course.
We understand why they're happy in the Netherlands. All right, give me another one.
All right, baseball. I'm going Juan Soto hitting a home run plus
425. Soto at plus 425.
I'm back
to
on
go
my,
deep.
I'm back on my home runs again.
You know what? At 425, Juan Soto might be the best player in the game anyway.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, I'm going back and forth. I've got two game five props that I have to decide on. Steph Curry to hit back-to-back three-pointers.
Okay.
All right. Back-to-back three-pointers, which means he hits a three, comes back down the court. The score is the same, so nobody else does anything. Hits another three at plus 375, or Jason Tatum, 8 or more assists. Boston to win, plus 600. See, if Boston doesn't win, I lose both of them.
That's the thing.
So I'm going to go Curry to hit back-to-back
threes. Yeah, so you already have Boston winning in one of your bets anyway on a money line. So
give me Curry to hit back-to-back threes. Plus, Steph Curry and I had him to hit the game's first three-pointer a few games ago.
You did.
At plus 250. The double-double. I am riding Steph Curry. He's going to be my MVP whether or not Golden State wins the finals. So give me Curry to hit back-to-back threes at some point during the game. At plus 375.
Right.
I really think today's going to be fascinating because I do believe that Boston has been the better team. It's 2-2. I went back and looked at it. The closing run in the last 5-18 was 17-3 Golden State in game four. Like, these are the things that Golden State has had to do to win game two. And to that massive third quarter run, which ended the game, this is what Golden State has had to do. Like, I just don't think they're better than Boston. I hope, like, I'm rooting for Golden State, but I think that Boston is the better team, so I'll go with some Celtics action tonight.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.